You ready? Let's do it.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Final Play Podcast. Just watching Miles trying to be a DJ. Anyway.
Oh yeah.
Here to talk about round
Mad
six,
Jay.
You are. Well, we'll see. Here to talk about round six of the NRL, starting with Thursday night game at the Central Coast. I love seeing the Central. I've always loved that ground. I don't know why, but I think it's just seeing the palm trees in the back. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's
a good stadium. It's got nice. It sucks that it never really fills up all that often.
Yeah, no, it's a good, and it's, well, obviously that we have to get a team there, but yeah, it's a good little place. But I'm glad they're getting games there anyway. But the Knights
and bulk games, that's the thing. Yeah, bulk games there,
and I'll start be able to get crowds soon. So the Knights beat the Broncos 27-6. From start to finish for me, it just looked like Newcastle had control of that game.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like just from what the Fox commentary team sort of come out and said straight up that Brisbane are the most penalised team and also the team that gets the most set restarts against them. Mm-hmm. So they had 8 penalties against them. This is just first half and eight set resets or 8 resets in the game. So it's just not a recipe for success. Like it's just can't even spit it out. It just and if you can't score points and you're doing these sorts of things and having yourself on the back foot the way that they are in a lot of these games, you're just not gonna win. Like it's simple as that.
I noticed like the first straight in that first game anyway. It's sort of across the board the whole week, but. Two Simbins in that game. Jermaine Asako was an infringement for Patrick Harrigan. Yeah, sort of pummeled poor old Mitchell Pearce.
I didn't really like that at all. Like they say, you know, it's the hitting of a defenseless player, but it's on a pass. He's already let it go, and in slow motion it looked disgraceful. But even in fast motion at full speed. It did look good, and he just hit him square in the middle of the shoulders. Like, that's not cool.
No, I think I'm surprised it actually didn't get put on report, and then usually go with that. They went sort of straight to the 10 minutes, which is interesting.
Yeah, they went sin bin, and generally nothing happens at the judiciary. So, I didn't like that at all. What did you think on the Pengai Jr. hit on Clemmer? Shoulder charge or not shoulder charge?
I love seeing it. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, it's fantastic.
I love seeing it. And so did the commentators. Of course, I mean, all those old tragic commentators,
they lost their load over it.
They really did. It was insane. I think it strayed the lines, if you know what I mean. Like
it was very borderline. Yeah.
I mean, it didn't go both ways, but it could have went both ways. So.
But that's who Tevita Pengai Jr. is. Like, that's just who he is. He's an aggressive second rower. He's got a massive motor on him. Like, he'll go all day, but he can't help himself. He's just come back from suspension.
Exactly. I think that's his problem. He's aggressive and all that, but I think it strays the line to getting a bit too over aggressive and he just can't help himself.
That'll be the thing. That'll be the delineation right there of whether or not he will get a big contract to a gigantic dinosauric like contract. Because if you can't stay on the field, you know, it's almost like a Adrian Morley. Like, you know, super aggressive, high energy type of guy, but just couldn't stay out of trouble.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think Brisbane have found a little, I mean, look, they're not playing great. I mean, obviously they're not playing great. I think they found a little gem in Xavier Coates. You know, he got a try and he topped the meters, 228 meters.
No, absolutely. Yeah, no, that's right. He's quite good out there. In the back line. So that's like you said, that's a bit of a gem. I've no idea what they're doing halves pairing wise. They started Isaac Luke, and then the young kid, is it? I don't know how, I can't think how you pronounce his name.
Which one? The Herbie Farnworth one?
No, the young hooker that comes in.
Corey Pakes.
He seems to be good, but he just doesn't have that now to sort of steer the team around a little bit. If you're going to have a young dummy half, then you need to have two very good controlling halves, a half and a 5'8" to sort of get you out of trouble. But when you've got Milford, who likes to play off the cuff, and just the disarray that's the halfback position in Brisbane at the moment there. Like Brody Croft is good, but not great.
He's learning. It's not his. I wouldn't totally throw.
No, that's right.
I think it's Milford's. It's still, Milford should be the one. It's still his team technically. Like, I mean, they said, they're getting Brody Croft in just to be, I guess, that. Or general, that sort of
it's
go
steady
forward
hand. Yeah, that's
and
right.
Steady hand. But Milford's, for all of what, like, I actually wrote that stat down. Before they said, that gives Milford time to run, do little things that he can do. All he did on that game was 6 runs for 29 metres. That's it. They go on about, that he's going to be free to do what he wants. He's not doing what he's expected to do.
And the thing is, too, they've got an amazing forward pack as well, but no real leadership there either. Like Matt Lodge is trying to be the cool head, so to say, which is just not going to happen.
I think Alex Glenn, that's about it.
That's right, Alex Glenn, but he's not that impact kind of forward. You know what I mean? Like he's just that steady stalwart. That's going to get you 11 hit ups for 100 meters or 12 hit ups for. 110, 100, 115 meters. Like that's an Alex Glenn and solid in defense. Speaking of the other side, Newcastle at the bookends, but they just bashed the living hell out of the Broncos. Like both Saifidi brothers, crazy. Jacobs, Clemmer as well. Herman SASA. Like, how many former Broncos and recent former Broncos do the Newcastle Knights have at the moment? SASA, Shibasaki. Now they've got McCulloch there. Like, they've got a sprinkling of Broncos and recent Broncos in that side. But the bench for Newcastle was amazing as well. And once they had the foot on the throat. They didn't let it off.
I don't think I still don't know what to make of Brisbane. I don't know if you just write the season off and then start building or what to do. I mean, they are missing David Fifita. Like you're talking about that impact guy that can keep his calm.
They've still got Payne Haas. They've got Tevita Pengai Jr. back. Do you know what I mean? How many more impact players do you want?
Well, they're obviously not going to keep all of them. That's the other thing, too.
Well, he's still a couple of weeks away, too, for Fifita, so...
I just mean in general for next year. There's no way they keep
him. Oh, no, that's right. So. Well, those guys like Payne Haas, Fifita, Tevita Pangai Jr., they're in the very near future are all going to want extremely large contracts.
Mm-hmm. And you can't pay all of them.
But it's going to be at the sacrifice of a lot of other positions.
I mean, if I put any money on those three, I'd put it on Fifita. I think he's just, I think he's a lot better player personally.
Oh, absolutely. If you put it, put it in a tier, it's Fifita, Haas, Tevita Pengai Jr. If they were going to let anybody go, I think it would be Pengai Jr. Just purely on the fact that, he probably's only going to give you, 14 games a season just through suspension. So, and the only two outstanding games he'll have will be against North Queensland. So, he's just super inconsistent.
Next game on the Friday was Rabbitohs, smashing the poor old Warriors 40-12. I'll tell you what, I'll just say it straight off the bat. He didn't have a bad game, but God, I'm down. I'm sick of seeing the Latrell Mitchell on the TV all the time. I'm just sick of it. He didn't have a bad game. I'm not having a go at that. I'm just saying we don't need to see him all the time.
The media's just all in on trying to crush this kid. Like, it's just ridiculous. Just let him play. He had a good game.
It wasn't that. It's just the media. I'm just sick of seeing his face.
They're just looking for an excuse. It's like, just leave the dude alone. Like, Wayne Bennett come out in the press conference after and just shot down Hannah Hollis.
That was awesome.
Just completely shot her down.
I wrote it all down too. Did you see that?
Oh, I watched that press conference. That was a brutal shoot down.
And because obviously she knows what happens with the Fox Sports cameras, she goes, she noticed it straight after the game,
like not in the change room. She actually says, you know, what happened to after the game. Like, yeah, you could see him down on his knees, you know, on his haunches a little bit, and he's sort of thrown his mouth guard down into the ground. It's just like, you know, when you see that immediately, you got to think, it's like, man, you just. You know, beat the pants off a team. Like, what's to be down about? But, you know, when you get the whole story, then you can understand it.
But yeah, Hannah just kept prodding, basically.
She
said, oh, we could all see it. You know, there's something wrong with it. Can you elaborate on it? And he said, nah, not going to do that. And then she basically prodded again. She goes, well, the fans want to know. He goes, well, the fans want to know. They think they want to know everything and they don't need to know everything.
Yeah, he said a lot of fans want to know a lot of things.
He said the Sheds, you know, call you guys. He basically said you guys. He didn't say Fox Sports in general, but he just said you guys have, you know, the Sheds to me was a sacred area, but you guys have now put the cameras in there, so we can't even do that. So what happens in the Shed stays in the Shed, basically. But yeah, good. I don't hate Wayne Bennett, I should say, but I'm not his biggest fan either. But that was exactly everything he said was perfect.
No, exactly. And what he said is right. Mm. It's exactly, it is sort of a sacred thing. It's all right to come in there after the game with, you know, handheld cameras or any, you know, and things like that with the TV, but they've got, you know, set cameras in there and they're all over the place.
Yeah. I'm so glad they don't do the sound.
And you know how to stop it? Do you know how to stop it?
Yeah.
All you got to do is get a couple of plates to start walking around in the nude.
That's actually not a bad idea.
Simple.
That's actually pretty good. I like that.
Simple.
That's actually pretty good.
Start getting a couple of guys just strutting around with nothing on, a pair of socks and a pair of footy boots. They'll stop showing it.
They'll probably get fined, but who cares? That's awesome.
All you got to do is just, yeah, that's, I mean, it's easy to do. So you want the cameras out of here?
That's awesome.
I know how to do it.
Across the board, but I think everybody in that team played well, not just Latrell Mitchell. Damien Cook seemed to be bouncing back to his best play. You know, he always helps the tackle count. There's nothing wrong there, but it just felt like he got his own try. He controlled the game a bit more. He's making a lot more line breaks. It felt a bit more like the old Damien Cook.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. Just South, too classy across the board, really. Yeah. That's all I put it down to. Like, the Warriors had 53% of possession in that first half, and they're down 22-6. It's just amazing, that stat alone. And for me as well, like, you know, how, not so much how poorly the Warriors look. Like, they look pretty ordinary. But have a look at what they did last week to North Queensland.
Yeah.
The Cowboys made them look like world beaters. And they just get, as the great Slim Shady would say, snap back to reality. Unbelievable.
Isn't that always the Warriors, but the hot and cold nature of the Warriors? That's just Warriors to a T.
The thing is, though, like, they're beating the teams that they probably should.
Yeah.
That's all you can really, if you're an ordinary team, then that's what you've got to do. Mm. You know, you've got to beat the teams that you should. They should have beaten the Cowboys last week and, you know, in the first round back, round three, after the break. they should have beaten St. George. So you can't really knock them for that unless you're the team owner or whoever it is. Sorry, I shouldn't say the team owner.
We'll touch on that later. We'll touch on that later right at the end.
But, I don't know who it is. But, then you go out there and just unceremoniously sack the coach. What did you think on the supposed possible eye gouge on Latrell Mitchell by Wade Egan?
I didn't see enough to warrant. I couldn't really, from my end, I guess, I couldn't really see enough to warrant anything.
I could see slight finger movement.
But
I don't think it was super deliberate.
If it was there, it wasn't super obvious. I'll put it that. That's how I seen it, at least.
No, I
didn't see much. It didn't warrant it. I mean, obviously, it's one of those things that they have to look at, but it didn't warrant an eye gouge. I don't think he'll get charged, but because I don't think there's enough evidence there.
Not from what we've seen. There could be other camera angles that do, look a little bit more damning than what we've seen. Probably at this stage, I don't think he's got a lot to worry about, but you just never know.
Because
Latrell got up extremely upset.
Got
up straight away and went after him. So he feels that there was something there. It'll just be whether there's any evidence contrary to it.
Yeah, but also, at the end of the game, because the cameras were on him all the time, it didn't look like there was any, visible marks or anything like that.
It didn't look like there was any scratching. He could go, full Law and Order SVU and
see if he gets DNA from
his fingernails or something like that.
It'd be a noticeable thing if it was bad.
Yes.
It's an eye gouge. The other Friday game was the Panthers. I would say upset. They beat the Storm 21-14, but they played
absolutely
well.
Absolutely an upset.
But they played
absolutely
so well.
Absolutely an upset.
Yeah. They were great. Melbourne supporter, but they took, that slim lead and they just kept chipping away. They did exactly what Melbourne does to team. They just kept grinding them and then got points.
They ground them out of the game. Yep. That's right. Yeah, it was a bit of a role reversal there. In that first 20 minutes, Panthers just had just unbelievable, just relentless pressure on the Melbourne line. Lucky to crack them for at least one try in the 18th minute. And defensively they were getting pressure on, on Munster, and O'Reilly Jacks as well. Melbourne playmakers were under the pump a lot.
And then full credit to Panthers, because that's where, even though Munster still had a fairly decent game, he got a few line break and try assists and all that, so he still was there. But yeah, I think they targeted the right players, especially Munster, but even Riley Jacks, you target the halves, the guy, the playmakers. That's just the way it should be. So yeah, for Panthers, they're a funny sort of, I wouldn't say they fly under the radar side, and they still may be, I suppose, to an aspect, but the fly under the radar, Cleary's, he's bounced back. He's great. He'll be New South Wales halfback. But Jerome Luai isn't a bad compliment for him. He's not.
He's not the season, that's right. He's not the superstar 5'8" to put beside him. But Nathan Cleary's young enough, and they've got that. That's right. They've got him there as well. Also Dylan Edwards as well. I really like him as a fullback. Just no frills. Just a workaholic fullback. Mansour is getting back close to being picked for test sides. He's getting back to that after having a shell of himself last year. Coming back from multiple injuries, and he didn't have a very good season at all last year. This year, he's come out as a house of fire. One of the best wingers in the comp.
I totally agree. He just keeps topping the run meters every single week, and he looks like he's he's bulked up too, but in the right areas. Like he's not like overly massive. But
he's always a big winger.
Oh, but then you said the shell of himself last year, maybe because he looked smaller last year. I know, he just seems bigger. But that, I mean, we haven't seen him for a while, but it just seems he seems bigger. So I'm not sure.
He's probably back at full strength now that we've been able to get a full off season under his belt. So if you go sort of circle around to Melbourne, they just didn't capitalize on the mistakes that Penrith gave them. Yep. To get themselves back into the game, just through, just a little bit of, lack of execution a little bit. And that's what you can say about most of the teams that lost this week. And usually most weeks, it's just generally a lack of execution, but you don't sort of associate that with the Melbourne Storm a whole lot. Seve out on the wing as replacement for Josh Adokar is obviously a pretty big step down. For the likes of Adokar, who once again is one of the best wingers in the competition. You could see that they absolutely targeted Seve. He dropped a couple of high balls. But the shot in the arm that they needed was the Nathan Cleary field goal, 4 minutes to go, and that basically shut the game down. Okay, fair enough. It's only 4 minutes to go, but the Cleary field goal there to make it 21-14 essentially knocked the game on the head.
But
Cleary had his fingerprints on it, on everything, including cheeky little milking of a penalty near the end of that first half, where he ran into Cam Smith and sort of flopped on the ground and got himself a penalty right in front, which I thought was a veteran move by
a young player. Yeah, it's like he took a page out of Dally Cherry Evans' book. Literally,
You could see him both sort of laughing as they were going up the field, and Nathan Cleary knew exactly what he did.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think it's going to shake Melbourne off too much. Like, Melbourne will still be there, but I'm liking the Panthers this year again. Like, I think as long as they sort of keep that core, I think they'll be pushing top four this year if they keep their core going.
No, that's right. And Appy Coruscant is the fuel to that fire.
He said Manly will regret losing him, and I think.
And so will the Bulldogs. Manly are playing bad. He was essentially pulled. Yeah. That Penrith pulled the rug from underneath the Bulldogs and got him from him. Got him from there. Uh-oh. So he was going to Canterbury.
Look, they probably couldn't have. But they probably couldn't. I mean, Manly would have never afforded him because
the Bulldogs could.
The Bulldogs could, yeah. It's worked out well. They're good. They're going a lot better than I thought they would. At least this early, anyway.
At least for now. And that's what you got to do. You just got to work towards. Work towards the end of the year and peak at the right time.
Next game was the Dragons and Titans. It was a good game. It ended up being 20-8 to the Dragons.
Mary McGregor was a little fiery in the coach's box in the first half. It just seems like a ploy at the moment by the Gold Coast and the new coach Justin Holbrook to play a super compressed line of defence, and I think teams are starting to work that out. And if a team like St. George, who's not exactly in the greatest of form at the moment, like a lot of players, especially their playmakers, if they can exploit that and find their way around them. That just some of the tries that St. George scored were just way too easy to get around that line of defense. So it's just too compressed. I get it to try and shore up, the center of the field and things like that. But just playing that compressed, I think Holbrook has got to rethink that type of game here. Back here in Australia, it's fraught with danger, and St. George were just getting around the Gold Coast way too easy. So it just seems like that sort of ploy isn't really going to work at this point in time.
It's a hard game to sort of talk about because it's like you said, I guess another team. I think the Titans made the Dragons look better than they actually were are this year, but it's hard to sort of make what of like to read so much into this game. It's just to accept that the Dragons have played better than they have all year, but it just wasn't an appealing game. I'm sorry, it just wasn't.
No, not really. Look, the Gold Coast sort of, once again, sort of made it a little bit more competitive in the second half. Like it was 14-2.
Yeah.
At the end of the first half, like the Gold Coast score the first 2 points, penalty goal, and then don't score again until sort of late in the game. I think Tanner Boyd scored for their only try. But just once again, it's just not so much Melbourne like lack of execution, just zero execution inside St. George's red zone, inside that 20-meter. It just nothing, just absolutely nothing. I like Fogarty, how much do you want to keep harping on the form of Ash Taylor? I think it is what it is at the moment. He's only ever going to show flashes of brilliance at this point in time. It just doesn't look like the consistency is ever going to be there. The Gold Coast ended up with one left on the bench with 20 minutes to go. Young Tonomapia got hurt. Philip Sammy, I think young Tonomapia failed his HIA. Corey Thompson in his debut got hit in the face, and he failed his HIA. So they ended up having to put Peachy at fullback. Well, first off, Thompson goes off. They had to put Philip Sammy at fullback, and then he gets hurt. And then so Tyrone Peachy went to fullback. So they've got major backline issues at the moment there. If those guys aren't fit and healthy to go next week, they've also don't have Dale Copley to come into that backline. So their backline is looking a little thin at this point in time. So there could be some wholesale changes coming with the Gold Coast at the moment.
On the flip side, I don't mind that Adam Clune. I think he's a pretty handy sort of player. He's not young either. Like it's like this is sort of how he sort of broke into the side when the Dragons need him. He's 25. What is
it, 25? He's 25.
Young to us, but not in the scheme of the NRL, it's not that young, but. And the Dragons love him too, so they awarded him with a 2-year extension. So he's he's consistent. He's not probably a no frills guy. He doesn't do the greatest things, but he doesn't do the terrible things either. So
no, that's right. He looks like he's the kind of player that's most likely not going to lose you the game, but he's generally not going to be the superstar that wins you the game.
No, I think he plays what's in front of him, and that's the best he can sort of do, which is fine. I mean, you've got other players at St. George at the moment.
They need that bit of stability, something.
You've got other players that can do that. You have Zach Lomax, Corey Norman, Ben Hunt. They can do all that stuff. He doesn't need to do that.
That's right. Matt Duffy. Cameron McGinnis,
correct.
Like they've got game winners.
Yeah.
Around the place.
Next game. sorry to all Cowboys fans and Tigers.
Okay, next game was the Roosters and Parramatta. What a game that was on Saturday night.
36-20 to the Tigers. Go ahead.
Disgusting.
Disgusting. Again, you were saying about not capitalizing. Like the Cowboys end up with 53% of the possession at the end.
That was
of the,
insane.
But I just didn't capitalize.
Oh, I did. It was just the absolutely worst start you could possibly have. Second hit up, and Jason Tamalolo, who is the captain for the first time in the squad, just drops an absolute sitter.
Yeah.
West score, and the rot starts from there, and it just got from bad to worse. Like it was just no speed in the line of defense for 2 weeks in a row now.
Yeah.
Can't wrap up the ball. So they're getting the Cowboys aren't renowned for their offloads, but I'm pretty sure they were even on offloads during that game, but they couldn't wrap it. You know, North Queensland couldn't wrap up the ball. So it's just second phase up the second phase. Robson, he had a rookie game. Yeah. Like you're all going to have that. His service at a dummy half was just straight up garbage.
Yeah,
in that first half, just horrible. But that's, you know, you can't knock it on the young. He's only, what is he, 21? You're going to have those games as a young, you know, as a young dummy half. You know, mm-hmm. when you just need that when you're under the pump and you need that nice crystal crisp service at a dummy half. It just, I don't know what happened. He just looked rattled from the get go. Like he's just the Fox commentary would seen that straight away. So like it was unbelievable. So it just, like I said, it just got from bad to worse. Like the North Queensland, they're pushing the halves up too close to the line of defence, because once again there's another intercept try that North Queensland has thrown. I'm pretty sure it was Drinkwater that's thrown. That's thrown the intercept. They're not playing deep enough. You know, there's a line that you've got to go to where you can play too deep, or they're playing too close to the line, and once again, yeah. It's resulted in another intercept.
There's three things that pointed out to me in that game for the Cowboys. Firstly, they are missing Michael Morgan so much. It's
not
extremely
going to help
evident.
Them defensively. Like he doesn't help them defensively at all.
He probably doesn't, but he's the kind of guy that can put people in place defensively. Like he's the kind of guy. He is a decent captain. Like he'll put the people where they need to be defensively. He just looks evident.
Still got to be the guys
all.
To make the tackle. Defense is nine tenths effort.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with one tenth technique. Like it's just what it is. It's just, and that was just. The first half was just a train wreck.
Yeah, it was.
Obviously the second half is a lot better, and I've seen today footage of Paul Green just tearing strips off everybody in the dressing room at halftime. Well, absolutely losing his mind, which is, as well he should be, because he is under the pump.
So. And, yeah, well, that's the other thing. Well, there's four things now. I'll throw that in the mix. But the second thing was they only used five subs. Like, interchange players. I'm sorry. I'm still thinking we're NBA mode here. Do they just happy with the 13 and they just – you can't in this game and day and age. You can't – I don't know. Like, you've got a utility and Ben Hampton sitting on there playing 12 minutes. Like,
That's a waste. They got themselves a nice little free interchange with Kyle Feld going off after his second try, after he got booted in the face for that 8-point try, which was not so much crucial, but if they had been able to slot the sideline conversion, it 2 points mm-hmm. is 2 points, but it makes that game under a 3-score game then. And it just sort of puts you want to create, when you're down by that much, you just want to put pressure on and you want to create a little bit of doubt that, oh, hang on, can we hold these guys out? An 8-point try essentially was a 6-point try.
Yeah.
North Queensland come out in the second half and they look like they had a little bit of intensity in attack wise anyway. You know, I'm not totally sure if West come out with sort of foot off the pedal a little bit, you know, after going up 4-0. So they probably sort of let off a little bit. But North Queensland scored three tries in 7 minutes.
Well, the next
they just couldn't keep that rage up.
The next thing that sort of stood out for me, the only good thing is I he's only young, but that Tobias Fadeau, he is good. He's, you know, he's 18 years old. Not expecting miracles, don't get me wrong, but he's not bad at fullback. He's pretty good.
Absolutely.
He's very handy. He can break a tackle. It's ridiculous.
It kind of sucks for Benny Hampton, because once Val comes back, unfortunately, he's going to be the other winger with Kyle Feld. So and that's what you want at the moment. You want something that's just got that bit of raw talent. You want him there. You want him with he's got that raw speed. Even though it wasn't quite on display in this game because he kind of got torched. I think it was Luke Brooks. Like he couldn't catch him on that breakaway. So yeah, he probably didn't have enough meterage to sort of catch him. But yeah, he kind of got torched by the Tigers half. They scored those three tries in a clump, and then that was it. And then they didn't score again until like 8 minutes to go. So it just wasn't enough scoreboard pressure to keep the Tigers, looking over their shoulder and looking at the scoreboard and going, oh, hang on a minute, we're sort of letting this game get out of hand. But, the Cowboys just let the game get out of hand from the get-go.
And the last thing was what you sort of already touched on, Paul Green. What are we, does he see out the year? Is he going to see out the year? Do they stay with him?
If you want to go by reports, from the supposed credible journalists down in Sydney, who where are they again? Oh, in Sydney. So yeah, they I'm sure they've got the finger on the pulse of what's happening up here in Townsville. They seem to think that he's going to be gone. And if they don't turn this around quickly, he could very well be. But I'll pose the question again and again and again. Who, if you're the North Queensland Cowboys and you're going to sack the coach, you better have somebody who you think is better than Paul Green. I don't care for this stupid crap of, oh, they just need a different voice there. That's rubbish.
I agree. But I also, I agree with that. Like you need a ready replacement. I totally agree with that. That you think can be better than Paul Green, but I don't know. He had a great side and he's picked up Val Holmes. I know, look, Val Holmes injured, don't get me wrong. And it's hard.
They've got injuries everywhere.
And Thurston's up. So he had he had a team that had Jonathan Thurston. So it's hard. But I don't know. He'll see at the year. I just don't see him staying. That's all. I don't know. Because they're not playing bad. It's not like they have made final series, so it's not like they're playing terrible.
It's not as if they're missing finals year after year after year like they had been, previously. But that's just maybe a little bit of bias on my part. But if you've got to make sure you got the right man for the job. But who's better that's out there? Are you telling me Stephen Kearney? Well, now that Stephen Kearney's got he's out there. But is he better? Like it just, it's got to be a current assistant coach who has been a first grade coach somewhere before, a la, Flanagan or John Cartwright or somebody like that. But it just, I just fail to see anybody out there, unless they're coming from England, who's going to be any better. Or if they can pry away, somebody or another coach from another club.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Or the only thing I could see is an assistant coach sort of stepping up, which can work. It's not like it can't work. So,
well, there's rumors swirling around that Christian Wolf, who's been at the Cowboys for a long time now, and being the under 20s coach and guys like that. It's just they just don't have the coaches who have got the big credentials in the system at the moment. Ty Williams is coach of the Northern Pride. Aaron Payne is coaching the Blackhawks, and I can't think of who the coach of the Cutters is. Do you know what I mean?
I can't think of his name, but I can guarantee he's not NRL ready. So
yeah, but do you know what I mean? Like they've got those former players there, but you just don't think that they would have the credentials there to be able to step in to put on the big boy pants just yet. So I'll just leave it at that.
Okay. Yeah. No, I can see your point. I mean, it depends. Like you said, it's up in North Queensland, but So, of course, city people are not going to know what's going on. But, you know, it's unfortunately, as we see with Stephen Kearney, you've got to keep winning games. If you don't win games, then they put you on the block. So, regardless of what's going on.
That's right. And, it just seems to be the way that this club sort of goes as well. Like, you know, sort of not so much unceremoniously dumping coaches, but... Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you know, Graham Murray, who took the side to their first grand final, their first ever final series. Like, he just absolutely should have never been able to have the opportunity to be fired from up here, yet he was. Yet we keep Neil Henry for way too long.
Way too long. True. Yeah.
And then, now Greeny has coached this team to their first ever premiership. And now he could be kicked by the wayside as well. Like, it just, do you know what I mean? Like, it just seems to me that they're keeping the wrong people around and punting the good people.
The last game on Saturday was, for me, it was close to the game of the year. It was just, I don't know, I sort of had everything until the end. But...
Were you buying into that, all the promotion?
No. Just watching the game.
The game of the century.
I didn't even notice any of that, honestly. Just watching the game without all that crap in there. It just was a good game up until the end. It was a good game. The reason I keep saying to the end, because the Roosters end up, you know, I guess sort of pulling away and winning 24-10. I love close games. I always love close games than, you know, 70, 80 point games. So,
the scoreline probably doesn't really reflect on how close it was, you know, super high quality sort of, you know, first 25 minutes really. Just in key moments, I think Parramatta sort of played a little bit too panicky. Tried to play a little bit too fast, and that's, yeah, you got to try and you don't really have to try and match the Roosters, you know, speed for speed, but you could tell that they were definitely trying to go at their pace and just at key moments, you know, they just sort of lacked that little bit of, you know, of gun to try and get the W. And even though the Michael Jennings. Evergreen. It was the story of the Evergreen. Michael Jennings, Brett Morris, Josh Morris.
Yeah.
Like, just, they're playing unbelievable.
Michael Jennings is playing. I mean, the Morris boys have been, but Michael Jennings, he's sort of flying under the radar. He's been playing very well this year. That's right.
And Parramatta were down 8-0 at half time, and then Parramatta come straight out of the blocks.
Yeah.
And score in the first four inside the first 4 minutes to get themselves right back in the game, and then a steamroller happens.
Oh, Mackay Sivo. poor Tedesco. He just got
railroaded.
Oh my god! The camera angle was so good. Like, that's just the best camera angle. Like, just literally looked like
a trunk. They had about 14 camera angles in that, and they showed it for the next 10 minutes.
Because it looked like a train, just literally just bowling over, like, I don't know, something was on the train tracks and it just couldn't stop.
You could see from that back view of it, Tedesco just sort of gets himself in the wrong position, cops a little bit of a shot on the chin, and then just goes down like a sack of dirt, and then his head hits the ground, and that was a double hit.
Yeah.
And then in all of that too, he does something to his thumb. He's got an ice bag on his thumb when he's in the change room, so he was just hurting all around.
He still punched out, you know, he did 60 minutes. He still punched out 185 metres. So it's not
so bad. Exactly. just doing what Tedesco does. But that then, you know, that sort of puts, that put them up 10-6. That put Parramatta up, 10-8. That was the spark that the Roosters needed.
Yeah.
Because straight away on the Roosters' next set of six, they pretty much go the length of the field and Boyd scores.
Yeah.
And just like that, that Parramatta surrendered the league, surrendered the lead straight away.
That's what sort of happened sort of straight away. And that was just, I guess for me, it was just full credit to the Roosters for that. Like, you know, they didn't dwell on being down. They sort of got straight back into it. Right.
Yeah,
and that's why.
Straight back, hit back.
Having players, like you said, like the Morris boys in there, Boyd Corner, you know, you have a few you know, we're Darryl
Daniel, Daniel Tupou. Daniel Tupou is playing, state of origin form.
He's
playing great.
Yeah. That whole, I mean, the whole side in general, but yeah, he's playing really good. He just looks like nothing phases him. That's why, I don't know, like he scores a try and it's just like, okay, like it doesn't.
Cool, calm, and collected.
Yeah, it really does. Like, and he jumps like, he's ridiculously has some serious jumps, some serious.
Well, what is he? 6'3", 6'4"?
Oh yeah, 6'4" aside, he's still got some hops.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, exactly. Especially on ground in football boots.
Yeah, on ground, exactly, on ground in football boots. But I think, look, Roosters, I fail to see that easy premiership favourites at the moment. So it's it's completely evident. I mean, it's just, I don't see a chink in that armour. Not yet, at least, anyway. The biggest thing he's going to have to worry about is injuries. But
injuries. They don't have to worry about, don't have to worry about origin.
No. That's the beautiful thing.
All they've got to do is keep those players healthy.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think, we spoke Cleary before. I think Luke Keary's probably New South Wales 5'8", too. I mean, he's... Just the way they're both playing, but he's playing extra special as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, you can see those two side by side there in the sky blue. So
it's kind of scary. I'm a New South Wales supporter, but it's kind of scary. The New South Wales side's getting put together pretty well, early.
God, they've got but that's the thing. You look at it now; they got so many of their custodians from last year in form. It's just going to be a half piece together Queensland team as they usually are, but once again we've got to wait until the end of the year before we get state of origin. But
see, that could play well to Queensland because like they're hitting form now in their straps. Like if they're hitting form in their straps now, New South Wales will blow them out. But like coming towards the end of the year, it might actually play in well, depending on.
Well, it could even it out anyway.
It could even it out.
Yeah.
Next game was the Seagulls, I should say, technically, the Manly Seagulls and the Raiders.
Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's what Fly Eagles fly. 14-6 to Manly. That's why I sad to say Seagulls, because that's all I can think about as well. Good win by Manly. Unfortunately, double blow straight up. Tommy Turbo's injured and Dylan Walker.
Yeah. Look, see that is a big blow for them. Also Carson Wentz, the quarterback for Philadelphia player. he's always. NRL. Sorry about that.
I was thinking, what the hell are you talking about? I just realized. Yeah, no. No, that doesn't
Tom Trbojevic is a gigantic blow.
Yeah.
It's a reoccurring thing at the moment, this hamstring injury of his. So it looks like he's a shot duck for 6 weeks. And Dylan Walker, who looked a little better, not so lost like he did last week. He's done an ankle and looks like he could be done for 10 to 12 weeks.
Yeah.
That's just early reports. It could be a little bit better. It could be a dire situation, but boy, they got some big names on the injured list at the moment.
Yeah, Trbojevic alone, like there was a stat that came out that when he actually plays for Manly, they win 73% of the games, which is it's kind of, if he's not going to be there, it's kind of going to be hard for them, I guess.
Right. And they've got one of the better 1-2 punches at prop. And Aiden Fanua Blake.
Fanua Blake is just, that guy is,
he's playing out of his skin at the moment. But without Marty Tapau there at the moment.
Yeah.
But he's just, Manly did what they needed to do.
Yeah, correct.
Just to sort of grind this game out. 59% possession.
Yeah.
43 or 48 completion rate. Only two line breaks. But just got the job done.
Yeah.
And just shut Canberra out, who, look a little funky in attack after, they haven't really looked the same since they beat the Storm a couple of weeks ago.
I think it's what we sort of said at the start. I think it's coming into reality that unfortunately they have to travel every week. Yeah, it mightn't be to that far places. Like, I mean, Canberra to Manly isn't, you know, we're not talking from...
Well, it's three and a half hours from Canberra.
Yeah,
to Sydney,
we're not talking from Sydney to North Queensland. But, you know, it's probably taken a toll. Like, you know, they are traveling. They're not home every... They're home every week, but they're not playing at home every weekend.
That's right, yeah. So they're not getting that comfort of, okay, cool, it's game day. You know, we're playing at home. You know, they can have that little bit of familiarity with their surroundings and things like that. It's like, cool, game day, time to go and meet at, at the Leagues Club or wherever they get picked up from. You know, get on the bus, come in.
You think everybody gets picked up at the Leagues Club?
They might have been picked up at the Leagues Club the night before.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, yeah, no, that's right. Yeah, I was frequenting the Leagues Club today. So very, very, very nice. I haven't been there in a few months. So, thanks, COVID-19. But, got very familiar with the Leagues Club this afternoon.
I think Jack Whiten is playing better. I think he can play a lot better. He's playing better. Like he did have his hand in and then a try assist and had a line break, but I think he could be playing better, like a la last year.
Oh no, of course. And you know, it sort of looks like George Williams has sort of come down from cloud nine after the Melbourne game and just being sensational against the Storm. But yeah, he's come back down to earth a little bit. They don't have the most menacing forward. Like it's a big forward pack, but it's not the most menacing forward pack, if you know what I mean. So Josh Papali is always going to be, Josh Papali is always going to be what he is at the moment. But yeah, he's just turned himself into one of the better props in the game. But do you know what I mean? It's not the most scary forward pack, if you know what I mean. Like, they're not really going to come out and dominate too much. They got, the old veterans like Ciasoliola coming off the bench and players like that. So, and they've got a little bit of youth there, but if they sort of can't lay that platform for Josh Hodgson, then they're on the back foot to start with.
They still have a great side. I still think they'll be in the eight by the end.
They'll squeak into the eight. I don't think they're going to be the premiership threat. I said that from the get go, from the start of this year. I don't think they're going to be the premiership threat that everybody thinks they're going to be. And this just could be a lull, a lull in their season at the moment, and they might be able to strike form towards the end, and that's when you want to do it. But the way that they're playing at the moment, besides the Melbourne game. It is what it is. They look a little bit flat at the moment.
The last game to finish it off was the Sharks and Bulldogs. The Sharks just sort of beating Bulldogs towards the end there, 20-18. Yeah, it was a good game.
I didn't expect it to be that entertaining, but it was. No. It was quite good.
Yeah, no, it was. It was good. It was 6-6 at halftime. It was literally, I hate you saying, everyone says it all the time, but it was anybody's game. So,
no, that's right. Bulldogs is sort of staying in the fight. Yeah, they clawed their way back into that game. It looked like they were coming home strong towards the end of that. Towards the end of the game, and looked like Cronulla was sort of gonna fall into a big a big heap there. But they sort of traded blows. In the first half, that try that Hopewadi scored in the first half, just a beautiful angle move. Yeah, they sort of had the line of defense all sliding one way, and then you could just see that Hopewadi's just coming at speed, the total opposite 45-degree angle, and just sliced right through the Cronulla defense to just go under untouched in the first half. But
yeah.
You just see that, that sort of glimpse of what they can do. Katoa there, scores himself a hat trick. There was a million tries scored by wingers in that game, which sort of upset Steve Blocker Roach a little bit on the Fox commentary. So, it it looked like Fifita. I don't know. Just he looked. It looks the same as last week. They started him, or they put him on the bench to start this game, and Brandon Ewelli come in and started in his place. So whether I don't know if that's sort of something to sort of light a bit of fire underneath Fifita, but if his body's not right, then no amount of dropping him to the bench or anything of that. You could see in that second half he's clearly limping.
Yeah,
and that's just not good. It's something. He's a big unit, but something bad's going to happen. Somebody's going to come in wrong in a tackle, and that knee's going to go sideways, something like that, and that could be big trouble for him.
Yeah, no, I thought the same thing. It wasn't he's still carrying a little bit of weight too, personally. So I don't know.
And that's the thing too. Like he could be a little bit heavy, and that knee could be hampering that extra mile that he needs to go to get that fitness up to sort of to drop a few kegs.
Yeah, yeah, no, I agree. I'm still trying to work out like where or what the Sharks are going to do. Like they're sort of hot and cold. They have decent players. I'm not the biggest fan of Chad Townsend at all.
He hadn't had a try assist until this game this year.
Yeah.
It's round six. He's your halfback.
Yeah, right.
That's crazy to hear that. I think it was the second try that Katoa scored was the try assist from Chad Townsend. It's just like that's his first try assist of the year. That can't happen.
No, I don't think so. But
especially when you've got inconsistencies at halfback. At 5'8".
Yeah.
Because to me, Moylan doesn't seem to be able to shake this hamstring injury as well. And look what's happening: hamstring injuries, calf injuries. But we all want fatigue in the game. Have a look at the injury toll. Just this week. Yeah. You know, we didn't even mention the injury toll out of the Tigers game, Tigers Cowboys game. Alex Twyla's gone with an MCL injury. Nobody knows how long he could be out for. We don't know the extent of that. Robert Jennings, hamstring injury. Funny that. You know, Zane Musgrove, he's gone with a foot injury. So this week has just been the week for I don't know, a lot of injuries sort of coming out. And it's not so much like obviously Tommy Turbo is a superstar of the game, but it's also decent players, like Alex Twyla and Philip Sammy. And guys like that. So it's I don't know. It might just be one of those things this week, and hopefully it doesn't get any worse, on the injury front. But just sort of circling back to Matt Moylan, like he's just got to get a little bit more consistent game time.
You're right. There's injuries, but and I'll keep saying it every week when I keep seeing it. Like, use the interchanges. Use the full interchanges. You put four players on the bench for a reason. Use them.
There's no, like you said, Benny Hampton playing 12 minutes.
Yeah.
He goes to training all week as a backline player and a backup hooker, and he's playing 12 minutes. Like, it's just, especially, you can make that call on the fly and go, all right, look, Robson isn't having the greatest game. You're not getting the hook out for him. Just, do what you would do if Granville was there. Just put him on the bench, with 10 minutes to go in the half. Put Benny Hampton out there. Let him sort of, steer the side around a dummy half, and then put Robson back on at the end of the second half. Like, it would have been fairly easy to do. North Queensland still had three interchanges left.
Yeah, you're right. It's across the board. They'll keep having injuries if you don't, I think they're wasting.
Got to use them. You got to use.
You're wasting your interchanges.
Not that you got to use them. They have to be smart interchanges.
Yeah, exactly. So before we just do the studs and duds of the week to finish it off, there's like I'm talking 5 minutes ago, late breaking news. Like, so James Graham is definitely quitting St George of the Rora effective immediately and will return to St Helens. So that's his last game. Was the last game against the Titans. So,
It just looked enough. Like this year. Yeah, that's right. He's played over 400 first grade games, you know, combined, you know, here and in England. You know, he's a multi-time premiership winner over there. He's played 1,000 games for England. He doesn't need this rubbish over here.
He's quite an easy, you know, I've never quit anything. I hope my brand is a quitter. And literally all the comments are saying, you know, he's not that kind of guy. No, absolutely not.
And there's probably be a few trolls out there that would say that, but they obviously don't know jack shit about rugby league. If you think that James Graham is a quitter, it's just, you know, he's getting up there in age. You know, he's a front rower, and that takes its toll on the body.
Yeah. No, you're right. It does. It's just, but, you know, finish it where he started.
Absolutely.
I think it's great.
You wish him absolutely all the best in going back to England, because I've loved having him over here. I've loved watching him play. He's grown into one of my favorite players in the game right now, and one of the best players that England has brought over here.
Yeah, no, I agree. I would definitely agree. Like, you know, there was always a talk of a few others, but I think he is definitely the best England expat, I would say. I don't think it's a question.
He's definitely, you know, sort of top five.
But
longevity, that's the thing. Longevity. It's some of those guys that come over and play a couple of years here and might be a bit too hard, and then they nick off back home. But yeah, he's stayed here, stuck at it. You know, he's made a grand final here with the Bulldogs. You know, he's really got nothing left to prove.
No, definitely.
Yeah, obviously, an NRL premiership would have been nice for him, but yeah, he's got nothing left to prove in this game.
So your stud of the week. We'll go to your stud first.
Look, I've got dual studs for this week. I just thought that David Clemmer and Saifidi up front just totally took that game away from Brisbane, just dominated their forward pack up front. You know, Clemmer, 190 meters, 19 hit ups. That just seems to be a regular game for him at the moment. But, you know, in tandem with Saifidi at 19 hit ups for over 200 meters, they were enormous up front for Newcastle. And once they had the foot on the throat, they didn't let off.
Yeah, no, it was an all, and that's good. Like, you know, for them to sort of have that go, they really have they've quietly been building anyway. And, you know, there's a lot of full credit that I guess should go to Nathan Brown, but they're quietly building a great
side.
That's
right. He built that team.
Quietly building a great side. Yeah. I mean, that's just, we don't have to keep going about coaches, but that was just another one that, you know, shouldn't basically unceremoniously being let go, really. Nah, so
that was disgraceful by Newcastle. But it's good to see them in the winner's circle playing well without, you know, essentially a traditional 5-8 either. You know, Kurt Mann's playing a Sean Rutter type 5-8 for Newcastle. If those who remember back to, you know, back to the early 2000s, you know, Sean Rutter was just sort of chucked in there at 5-8 and thrown beside Andrew Johns and sort of flourished as a 5-8. He wasn't quite there, sort of a bit of an in-between player. But Kurt Mann is taking on that 5-8 role and using his feet, with the running game. I still think Connor Watson is the answer there at 5-8. But obviously he's hurt. He's got that syndesmosis. So he's got that high ankle sprain, so he could be gone for another couple of weeks. But they're doing a very good job there in Newcastle, and yeah, the sky's the limit at the moment.
My stud was, we've already mentioned it during this pod, but Mackay Acevo is just like absolute bulldoze over Tedesco. It's just,
God, that was,
you
just...
know what. You did say you were right. Like, Tedesco did get his body in position wrong, but God damn it, it looked awesome. It was just a steamroll. You know, he's a great winger. He got Dally M top try scorer last year. He is good. He's still 26, so he's not, you know, he's young, so to speak. So yeah, he's a good player. He's
second, third year in first grade. Like, yeah, he's
He's 105 kilos, but only 185 centimeters.
So. 180 kilos, yeah. That's the kind of force that he hit to Nesta
That's some serious poor nose. Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Your dud of the week. I know you were sort of thinking a couple ways.
Oh, my God, I had many. I had many, but I just the Cowboys in the first half of that game on Saturday night was just, like I said it before, it was just disgusting. Just,
yeah.
There's just no other words for it. It just lacked effort, and yeah, Greeny was well within his rights to absolutely just spray the living hell out of everybody in that dressing room after halftime with the effort that they gave. It was just horrendous.
By the looks of it now, Josh McGuire.
Oh yeah. He's come out as well. And that's, he's not gonna let anything slide. If he comes out and has said something, you know, there's a lot of weight behind his words. He's come out and basically said, yeah, that was a shit ass performance, by everybody, not just the forward pack, by everybody, by the looks of it. So. Hopefully that lights a fire underneath everybody that's wearing a Cowboys jersey next week, and we'll see what they can do against Newcastle. North Queensland have just got an absolutely brutal run in the next 6 weeks.
Yes, they do.
Just this season could get away from them very quickly.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, starting with the Eels next week,
Well, they got Newcastle.
Newcastle next week.
Yeah, but then they travel down to Parramatta. They've got the Roosters on a Thursday night in a couple of weeks. Like it could get out of hand
and
real
the
quick.
So they've got the
top eight teams in the next.
Yeah, and the Eagles. Yeah, eight, god damn.
Yeah, in the next 6 weeks. Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is not going to be.
The Raiders, holy, they have a brutal run.
This is not going to be good.
My dud of the week is, and we again another thing we talked about. It's hard to sort of pinpoint what's happened, but just the timing of Steve Kearney's sacking from the Warriors. They're not playing great. It's fine. You're an owner if you own
the
site. Everyone keeps saying like it's well, probably it depends. I guess it's up to you, the owner. Like if you own the site, you can do what you want.
The general manager or the guys running football operations, they all would have had to have come to this agreement. But it's just the timing of it couldn't be any worse. It just couldn't.
I mean, this is a team that they didn't have to, but the entire squad and playing staff and doctors and all basically everybody that is in the New Zealand Warriors, they have based themselves in Australia for the rest of the year. So they're away from family, generally most of the time. And so they had to be a tight-knit group. I mean, I've seen them go out to like places in Central Coast and all that and out Tamworth and that, and literally take dogs around to people to find them to...
They're trying to find foster homes for dogs.
Yeah,
They had that 2 weeks of quarantine in Tamworth. Like they're putting absolutely everything on the line to get the NRL to start, because they're the only overseas team. But yeah, they're sacrificing a lot.
And Stephen Kearney would have been sacrificing a lot, and they would have seen Stephen Kearney. There's a lot of young players in that side. Tuivasa-Sheck, there's a few, stalwarts, but there's a lot of young players on that side. So they would have seen, having that father figure in Kearney, so to speak. You're the owner, so you can do what you want. And if it's, keep saying the owner because you're two knows, I would assume it's the owner. But if you could do, it's your own team, you can do what you want. But the timing just, it's not great.
It's terrible.
It's not
like,
great.
You can see Todd Payton. Like that next day, sort of come out and had like a video conference with some media. It must have been just via Skype or Zoom or however they do it now. He just looked even like the next day, he sort of looked still visibly shocked about what's sort of happened and the way that it's gone. So he's now the interim coach until the end of the year. They've only just signed Kearney to another 2-year extension. So his deal was going through to 2022. Yeah. So they're going to have to pay that out, right? Like, it's what is this? What is the point?
That's exactly right. And, you know, the position that they're in, like, it's just
it's dead money.
You're right. It's dead money. There's going to be a lot of fight. Like, players could just say, nah, all right, you've got rid of Kearney. I've had enough. I'm going back home. And they could lose players for the rest of the year.
That's right. There could be a bit of a player
revolt. They're probably not going to because, one, they're getting paid, and two, they'll look bad for leaving the team. But
that's right. They'll want to stick together and do it for Stephen Kearney and show that, hey, it's not, you know, it's not Stephen Kearney's fault. You know, we're going to stick together and we'll do it. You know, we'll do it for the side and do it for Stephen Kearney.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's not so much I'm harping on the Warriors, but I think it's the timing of it that should be the dud of the week. The timing. And it's it's most likely the owner. He owns the side, but it's his timing of it. And he clearly, don't get me wrong, Stephen Kearney's tenure there wasn't great. He only took him to the semi-final. So it wasn't great. So,
yeah, 2018.
As a normal coach, he's not doing great. But, God, just let him finish the year with all this going on.
42% win rate there. So, you know, under 50%, only took them to the finals in 2018. You know, started there in 2017. You know, he's come out of that Craig Bellamy coaching tree, shall we say. So it just, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it's unfortunately the timing. And it is what it is. There's not much you can do about it. But Toddy Payton, you know, he was always a half decent sort of player. So they're not going to have the greatest season anyway.
He was part of that 05 premiership for the Tigers. Like he was a massive player for the Tigers in the mid to late 2000s. Like I don't think he's been with the club for very long as an assistant. He's been an assistant for a little while now. At a few different places, but I don't think he's been with the Warriors very long, and now he's just been thrown in. He's been thrown into the head coaching position.
Yeah. No, you're right. He hasn't. But you know, again, he's been there, I guess, enough. Well, he had to be. They've all had to be. They've been there enough. So hopefully, they'll finish out the season okay. I another team that I don't think is going to make the top eight this year, but they'll finish out the season okay.
Well, you'd hope so. You don't know. There's sort of a little. That's just a little bit directionless at the moment. So yep. You hope that they sort of gather themselves and put together a decent performance this week.
That'll do it this week. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Twitter's at the Final Play Pod, and you can get the podcast pretty much anywhere you like getting your podcast because it is everywhere.
Except Apple.
Well, you can download a Spotify. If you've got Spotify, you can get it on Spotify. There's plenty of places you can get it. There's 1,000 places you can get it.
That's right. Cheeky little start of the week. Kalen Ponga, 4-year extension on his contract. What? So Newcastle.
That's a cheeky
start. Newcastle.
That's a cheeky buddy million. 1.1
Yeah, the number's insane. So he's hopefully worth it.
I think his agent's done. If anyone should get the start, it should be the agent. You know, get that little bit of thing out there about the All Blacks are sniffing around and what happens.
Isn't his agent his father?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, he should probably get the start of the week. You have that little bit of media saying, oh, you know, yeah, the Warriors are looking at him. He only had one little thing to say, and then they go and give him the money, which, you know, like, he's a great player.
Got a massive contract with Newcastle after playing, what, 3 first-grade games for the Cowboys?
And sort of justified it so far, but hopefully they haven't capitalized. But he's still young. I mean, is he 20? Is he 20?
I think he was still eligible for the under-20s. He was still eligible for the under-20s when he got called up for those couple of finals games for the Cowboys a couple of years ago. That led to the everybody knew the sensation that he was playing for the under-20s. Not so much it's rare, but it's sometimes the guys that make the under-20s look easy and they come into first grade, and a lot of times they don't live up to the expectations. They can be solid first grade players, but they don't turn into superstars. But he, you know, he looks like he's here. He could be turning into a superstar.
I seen it, like, because he was a Mackay High player, so you could sort of see it when he played here, you know, in the leagues here. But that's just another one, that classic, like, Cowboys. There's a few, if they're, you can name a 1 to 13. I will do that next week, actually. There's a 1 to 13 of Cowboys players that have been in the Mackay, North Queensland sort of area that could play, you know, could have played for the Cowboys. It's ridiculous when you hear the players.
Oh, no, of course. But the Cowboys aren't going to get every single player that's been in this,
I understand that.
I say that to people all the time. Like, just because they're from the farm system up here doesn't mean that, yeah,
but Cowboys did have him too. They just didn't want to pay her that money.
They've just done a deal with Lachlan Coote. Lachlan Coote was a big part of their premiership win in 2015. Yeah, they had him under contract. They couldn't quite squeeze Ponga in. Caelan Ponga had to do was wait one more year. Thurston would have retired. All of that money that Thurston was taking out of the salary cap, all would have went to Caelan Ponga.
Yeah, it would have, but, yeah, it will.
That's mean. It is.
Man, they would love Caelan Ponga right now, Cowboys.
Well, yeah, you would. You know, they've got a pretty handy replacement at the moment in Val Holmes, but unfortunately he's hurt. But yeah, it would have been nice to have kept him up here.
Oh, that'll do it, everyone. My name's Jason. I couldn't think of anything this week, Smith. Have a good week, everyone.
All right, I'm Miles. I've been at the Leagues Club all afternoon, Plum. So it's have a terrific week. Enjoy the footy.
Miles Glassy Eye Plum. Yeah, that's pretty much
Bloodshot Eye Plum.
Bloodshot Eyes. No, you actually don't look too bad. You probably had, when you did that 14 holes at the golf course, probably you just had all the alcohol was just sucked up straight away. Hydration. There's water in there somewhere. I don't know, is there?
It's got carbonated water written on the side of it, doesn't it?
Yeah, I pretended. I drink it like water.
$4 for a bottle of water at the golf course? Give me a break.
That is ridiculous.
What a jip.
All right, have a good week, everyone. See ya. See ya.